Acts chapter 17, and I want to read one verse. I'm sure most of you are familiar with this verse, but we'll look at several other verses in the chapter this evening. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that we have the opportunity to come and assemble ourselves here in this house of worship. That tonight, Lord, we can lift up and glorify and exalt thy Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray tonight that as we lift him up, that the Holy Spirit might speak to our hearts tonight and guide us and direct us and lead us in the way we should go. And Heavenly Father, tonight we ask you this evening to forgive us of all of our sins and iniquities, to remove those things from our lives which would hinder us serving you. We ask you and thank you, dear Lord, today for all the blessings of life you supplied us. And tonight, now thy servant asks you for the unction and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Verse number 6 of Acts chapter 17. And the Bible says here, and when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. I'd like to think tonight for just a little bit on this subject. Are you a troublemaker? When I was growing up, I had a brother who is now deceased, but he was a troublemaker. If we couldn't find trouble to get into, he'd make some. And somehow, some way, he always figured how to blame it on me. And I was always the innocent bystander. And I also have some oceanfront property in Arizona. But you know, some people are troublemakers. And sometimes the church may need some troublemakers. As we read here in the book of Acts chapter 17, and even as we read before in the previous chapters in the ministry of the Apostle Paul, Paul, by the standards of the world, was a troublemaker. I would dare say he might have spent more time in jail than he did anywhere else. And so this evening as we look at these verses for just a moment, I want you to realize tonight that sometimes we, as God's people, have to be troublemakers. Because you see, the Apostle Paul, it teaches us in verse number 17 that after they had left Philippi, and now they're still on their missionary journey. The Bible says when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Now, just real quickly, a bit of brief history. I won't tell you a lot of detail, but synagogues were established after the Babylonian captivity. I don't read of any synagogues. I'm sure that there were gathering places, but synagogues were places where the Jews gathered to worship, to read the Torah, to pray and to sing, as we have church today. And I could say in some sense it was the Jewish church service. Now, I understand the difference tonight between a synagogue and a church, but I'm saying that here these Jews would gather on each Sabbath day. They would read the Torah, they would pray, and they would sing the psalms and other hymns tonight in praise unto God. And Paul himself, being an Orthodox Jew, trained in the Scriptures, the Bible teaches us that he went, he would go into the synagogue. And so when he arrives at Thessalonica and he finds a Jewish synagogue, the next Sabbath day, of course, the Apostle Paul heads into the synagogue. And in verse 2 it says, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. That was what Paul's manner was. That was his way of life. Wasn't something second nature to him. Wasn't something that he just did every now and then, but this was something Paul did. This was Paul's calling in life. And so he goes into the synagogue and he takes the scriptures. And I like what the Bible says, and he reasoned with them. You know, sometimes we try to take out the head out of salvation. Now, I do believe tonight that Jesus Christ has to come into our hearts and into our lives. But we also need to realize tonight that there is reasoning. There is a head that we have to hear through our ears to get to our heart. And Paul would reason with these Jews. These particular people knew the scriptures. They were taught in the word of the Lord, the Torah, and the writings of the prophets of the day. And Paul would reason with them out of the scripture. Nothing wrong with reasoning. Nothing wrong tonight with showing people from the scripture. It's a great thing to do. But what did he reason with them about? Opening and alleging that Christ. Now that's the Old Testament word for Messiah. The Jews were looking for a Messiah. They were looking for a deliverer. They thought that someone would come and deliver them from Roman oppression and reestablish the throne of David and make the Jews the kingdom at that particular time. And they were looking for an earthly deliverer. They were looking tonight for an earthly redeemer, someone who would redeem the nation and exalt them to prominence upon this earth. But here comes Paul, and he begins to talk about the Messiah. And he said, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered. Now, we could look at many of the Old Testament scriptures which teach us tonight the sufferings of the Messiah. Isaiah 53, of course, is, I guess, one of the greatest ones. Psalms 22. And other scriptures tonight in the scripture in the Old Testament tonight teach us about the sufferings of Christ. And Paul came into this Jewish people, and I'm sure to begin with, people begin to wonder, who is this man? What is he talking about? And he's telling them that Christ, the Messiah, was not an earthly deliverer, an earthly redeemer, and he wasn't establishing a kingdom at that time upon this earth, but he came to be the redeemer of the souls of men. He became the Savior of the world. That he had to suffer. Now you think about that this evening. Just give yourself just a brief thought here, that here the scripture said he must needs have suffered. It was important. It was imperative. There's no way around it. Christ had to suffer. He was born to suffer. But I like the next phrase, and risen from the dead. You see, here's Paul preaching that, as he said, that I told you this morning, and as Paul told the Corinthian church, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. See, that's what he was preaching to these Jewish people, that he died for our sins according to the scripture, and was buried, and raised again the third day according to the scriptures. Now, Paul is preaching here a Messiah. And then he comes out and he makes a very, very important point. And he very simply says, and this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. He's the Messiah. He is the Son of God. He is the promised one. He is the one that God has declared would come into this world and be the deliverer. You think about that this evening. Paul is here in the midst of a bunch of Jewish people who had been looking for a Messiah for all of these years. And all at once, here comes a man And he takes the scriptures and he opens it up and he said, now here Christ had to suffer. He had to rise from the dead. And he's come into this world and his name is Jesus. And he said, that's whom I'm preaching to you. The first thing tonight that we find out about troublemakers is they preach Jesus. They proclaim Jesus. They declare Jesus to be the Savior of the world, and there is no other. That's what Paul is saying here to these Jewish people. As you read through the New Testament and his ministry, you find over and over and over again, Paul's message was always the same, Jesus Christ and him crucified. You see, tonight the church's message hasn't changed in all of the years since Paul has been gone. Our message is still exactly the same as Paul declared here in Thessalonica, as he declared in Corinth and Philippi and Ephesus and every other stop in his ministry tonight. Paul's message was Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world and there is no other. Tonight the message of the church in this age, the message of the Christian in this age tonight is Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world and there is no other. And that's where tonight people begin to back off and say, wait a minute. Now you just hold on there a minute. You're being intolerant, preacher. You're being intolerant, church. We might let you believe in Jesus. We might tonight accept that Jesus tonight was a prophet of God. And you can hold all the religion you want, preacher. You can do everything you want, church, but understand this, there's other ways to heaven tonight, and you can't go around telling people tonight they're going to hell if they don't believe in Jesus Christ and take Him as their Lord and Savior. And the world tonight calls us troublemakers when we begin to point out that the only message and the only Savior tonight is Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul was saying here to these Jews in Thessalonica. And he was bold and unashamed tonight. And he was willing to stand no matter what might come tonight to proclaim the biblical message of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Tonight, sometimes they can call us troublemakers because tonight they want to have their own religion. They want to have their own way. But Paul said there is no other way. There is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Tonight Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the Christ, the Messiah, the Deliverer, the Redeemer of the soul, and the Savior of the world, and there is no other. I like verse 4, the very first part, and said, some believed. And some believed. You know, there's always a group of people that's going to believe. Might not be many. And some believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. Paul began to amass quite a following here in Thessalonica. As you read in the letter to Thessalonians in the first epistle, he talks how that the word of the Lord came unto them with much affliction. And Paul here, as he preaches this message, begins to attract some Greeks. He begins to attract some devout women. And he gets some believers. And they begin to form a church. They begin tonight to worship Christ. They begin to praise God. And you see, that's the second sign of troublemaking tonight is when people begin to believe in the Lord and they begin to practice what they believe. They begin to worship the Lord. They begin to be a living testimony for His grace and His mercy. And people want to back off and say, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You're just troublemakers. You ever wondered what in the world we've ever done wrong? I mean, and I hope you don't misunderstand that. We do a lot of things wrong, okay? We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But tonight, if you look at the true church of Jesus Christ, what do we preach? We preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We preach tonight that He'll save to the uttermost all that'll come unto God by Him, that He'll refuse none. Tonight that He'll change your life and make you a new creature in Christ Jesus, and all things will become new. And He redeems lives. He redeems souls. He changes people, makes them better people through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. And God's people, God's real people tonight, begin to live in a godly manner. They begin to follow the teachings of the Scripture. And so tonight they become moral. They become a testimony. They become a help. And what happens? Well, you're messing our whole world up. You're turning our world upside down. You're troubling the world in which we live because you're a testimony against us. You see, when you stand and proclaim that the Christian, the child of God, and you become a child of God, and, you know, Brother Peter talks about how that they'll think it's strange you've not run with riot to excess as you did in previous times. In other words, we don't do what we used to do. We become a testimony against the casinos. We become a testimony against the taverns. We become a testimony against thievery and robbery and immorality and fornication and adultery and abortion and all of these things tonight that are ungodly and evil. And everybody says, now you're a troublemaker. You're a troublemaker. You're a problem. You're the problem of the world. You ever notice that? That's what the Scripture says in verse number 6. Well, let me read verse 5 real quickly. But the Jews which believe not. Now here's a group of unbelievers. They're identified tonight as those who believe not the message of God, who believe not the message of Paul, who believe not the message of the cross. They're unbelievers. They believe not. And they moved with envy when Jesus was crucified. Pilate knew that the Jews moved with jealousy. Jealousy and envy are twin sisters. And this evening that here was folks moved with envy. We could take many things tonight and we could say, hey, why does the world oppose this? Why could you take an alcoholic, a person saturated with alcohol, a person tonight who would not care for his family, who had no thought for anything but where he could get the next drink and didn't matter what he had to do to get it, who he might have to hurt, and he could hear the gospel of the Son of God and God could change him and turn him into a productive citizen of a father and a husband and a breadwinner for his family, and somebody will stand back and get mad. Why? Because they're envious, because they don't have anything that can match that tonight. You see, they can send them to rehab. They can send them to educational seminars. They can buy them a new suit of clothes and give them some kind of welfare assistance, and they're still the same old drunk. But God can come into their heart through the Holy Spirit of God tonight and move in that heart tonight and make them into something totally brand new. And the world gets mad because, hey, we couldn't do that. Envy. Man was out on a street corner one day preaching the gospel. Suddenly a man walked up and began tonight to disagree with him. he stood there by him and he said, I'm a professor in the university. I have several degrees, and I can tonight counter any argument you have about Jesus Christ. And he began to mock and make fun. And finally, this little girl walked up and she said, Mr. Professor. He said, yes, honey. She said, you know this preacher here? He says, I don't know him. She said, that's my daddy. And she said, I wish you'd leave him alone. He said, why, honey? He said, well, he used to gamble his paycheck away and drink his paycheck away and come home and beat me and mama and my brothers and my sisters, and we didn't have much to eat, and we lived in a shack. And said, one day he heard about Jesus, and Jesus saved him, and said, now he comes home and brings his paycheck, and he's a loving and wonderful daddy and husband to my mama. And said, I just wish you'd leave him alone. The world moved with envy. They're going to move with envy. And took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar. They took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. That amazes me. That amazes me. But yet I'm tonight not too amazed, because the same things happen in our society. Who do we see tonight parading out and standing up for homosexual marriages, abortion rights, all of the matter of ungodliness tonight? We see women who take their clothes off to make a living and made millions of dollars on a big screen. We see men tonight who will kiss a man on a television program. And I don't care if they make $10 million a movie. When they do those things, they're baser, looter fellows. That's what the Bible says. And they attacked us tonight with these kind of individuals because they can get a lot of attention. You see, and they set all the city on an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, saying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. That bunch of troublemakers is in town. They're troubling our world, folks. They brought them unto the rulers of the city. Whom Jason hath received, and these do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying, there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. I want you to listen carefully. I know tonight that some of the things that seems are so trivial, and I'm not sure that prayer before a football game ever saved anybody, but it certainly hurt no one. I'm not sure tonight that some of the other things that I see being removed from our society, but the thing that troubles me is this. You see, the rulers of the city were scared of Caesar. What will Caesar do if he hears we allow this to go on? You know what troubles me tonight? When we have people tonight who are worried about what Washington, D.C. will say, what some atheistic group of people will do, because we want to stand for Jesus. You see, tonight, we need to be aware of our world tonight, and they're afraid. They're scared to death. The money will be cut off, and we won't have enough money. We can't do all of the things, and so we'll take away all the rights. We'll remove everything, and because it's all the Christian's fault. I don't know a great deal tonight, as I said. But I can say this to you. No prayer that's ever been prayed, real Christian prayer, has ever hurt anybody. Has ever hurt anybody. A Christian's prayer doesn't hurt anybody. It'll even help your society. And we need to be aware tonight. I'm praying sometimes we're not aware of what's going on in our world. We're like, when I graduated from high school, we didn't have ICC, we had IJC. And the football field was up kind of where the Davis Center is and another place there. And on the west end zone, it might have been the length of this pew from the goal post to the brick wall. And if you were a defensive back for IJC, you had it made when you got down there because you had another guy to help you that brick wall. And you'd be surprised at how many people from the opposing team would run into that brick wall and injure themselves because they weren't aware of it. Because it wasn't on their field, and all at once they'd be looking for the ball and they'd be sliding down that wall. Weren't aware of it. We live in a world tonight that's not really aware many times of what's going on. We don't really see the things that's happening in our world. You see, we see tonight and we get so involved that we really don't see what's happening in our world tonight. And we better be aware tonight of what's happening around us. And this evening, we better be standing for the Lord. We need to be a troublemaker tonight. We need to trouble our world. It needs troubling tonight. It needs to be shaken up and turned upside down because the sin has already turned it wrong side out, so we turn it right back up again. That's all we're doing. Tonight, my prayer, my hope, my desire is I can be a troublemaker for the Lord. Tonight that I'll be willing to be as the Apostle Paul and be bold and be a witness and a testimony for God in this godless age in which I live. And that I won't back down or back off. This evening we need to be troublemakers for the Lord. Right. May cost us something. But tonight, it'll have a great reward in the years to come. All right. I thank you for coming. If you'll stand with me, Brother Bruce and Barbara would come. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. We ask to take this very simple message and use it for the honor and glory of him who loved us and gave himself for us. In Jesus' sweet name we pray. Amen.